Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I'm Pastor Dean Judkins, along with Teacher Charlie Sims of Holy Ghost Fire Church. We welcome you to the show tonight. How are we doing this evening?
Dean, you're breaking up badly.
I'm breaking up.
Yep.
All right. How's that? Is that better?
That's better.
All right. Technology. Sometimes it's the greatest thing in the world. Sometimes it's not so great. But let me know on the thing here. But all right. So today we are going to be talking on Death of a Prophet, the story of Jonah. Charlie, if you had to give a brief synopsis of how most or a lot of people think, let me ask you a couple questions. First of all, what's the fish that most people think that swallowed up Jonah?
Well, they think of a whale, because
right.
A lot of people call it a whale.
All right, and a lot of people think that Jonah was basically swallowed by a whale. You know, he stayed inside the whale's belly and, you know, probably made some fire or something down in there. And, you know, three days later, the whale blew him out the top of his, you know, snout there, his blowhole, they call them, for their breathing holes. And then Jonah went to Nineveh and did what God said. That's the story I was always told when I was a child. But
yeah, well,
today,
that story has been twisted so many times.
Oh, I know. Today, we are going to dig into it. We're going to show you what the Word of God has to say. We are going to hopefully give you a little bit better understanding. And I think some of the things that we're going to touch, we're going to show you a couple things about how God operates that you and I were talking about earlier, Charlie.
Yeah.
And some people will agree, but I think some people may not agree with what we have to say here tonight.
That's okay. They can call in and let us know.
That's right. And that's a good idea. Call-in number is 646-787-8364. And again, that is 646-787-8364. Whether you agree, whether you disagree, whether you want to say hello, you have a prayer request, please feel free to give us a call. Charlie, would you like to have some prayer?
Dean, I hate to say it, but that microphone is breaking up for some reason.
All right. So what we're going to do is, Charlie, you open up in prayer. Talk for a minute. I'll be back on in 1 second.
Good enough. Lord, we're grateful and thankful for the opportunity to come and to share together, Lord, your word. And Lord, we ask for those that are listening that, Lord, you'll touch their hearts and their spirits, and that, Lord, they can receive your word, and that, Lord, you'll give us wisdom and understanding of how to talk about this book. And Lord, we're going to thank you for it, and we give you praise for it, and we give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. We're grateful for the opportunity to come and to share together with you on Blog Talk Radio. And again, the number is 646-787-8364. Tonight we're talking about Jonah. Jonah was a man that God called as a prophet, that God called to do a great work for him. And he was going to make sure that God was going to do the work for him. And so Jonah is a good book to look at and understand. And one of the things that was significant about even back into Moses, because it says in the scriptures that Israel knew God's works, but Moses knew his ways. And in the book of Jonah, we see some of God's ways of dealing with his people. So we'll talk about that a little bit later. But Jonah is a really, really good, interesting book to read. Just read the whole thing through, and as you read it through, say, Lord, talk to me about it. Speak to me about what I need to learn from Jonah. Because Jonah was called, and he was called to do a job, and he didn't want to do the job, but the Lord made sure that he did the job. The Lord helped him in. So that was a good thing. So we're grateful for that. So we want to talk tonight in Jonah and see where we're going to go with it. Dean,
all right,
back
brother,
with us.
I am back.
Okay, good.
Can you hear me better now?
Yeah, I can hear you.
All right, good. All right, where are we?
Well, I was just talking to him a little bit about Jonah and how even back with Moses, it was the thing where it said Israel knew God's works, but Moses knew his ways. And I was making a statement that in the book of Jonah, we're going to learn a little bit of something about the ways of God, how he operates.
Amen. Amen. All right, let's dig right in. I'm going to just do a little intro here quickly. The book of Jonah is one of the prophets in the Bible. It tells a story of a Hebrew prophet named Jonah, the son of Amittai, who was sent by God to prophesy the destruction of Nineveh, but tries to escape the divine mission. All right, with that, how about if today I'll start and I'll read verses 1 through 3 in Jonah chapter 1.
Okay.
As you can tell, my voice is much better. Thank everybody for praying. And the cough is just about gone now. So it says, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare, went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Well, Charlie, how many times do you and I run away from the presence of God in our lifetime when we were told we didn't want to do something?
Don't ask.
Oh, I can think of many times, and thank goodness, the Lord showed some mercy in my life and didn't need to take the steps necessary as he did to Jonah here.
That's right.
So Jonah is told to do something. Jonah flees God's presence. Would you say that Jonah was in disobedience?
Jonah didn't want to go down there because he knew what the people of Nineveh were like. And he kind of, this is my interpretation of it, okay? Jonah knew about the people of Nineveh. He knew what kind of people they were. And when the Lord told him to go to Nineveh, he said, I don't really want anything to do with those people. They're not very good people. So he was going to try to find a way to get away, so to speak. To not do what the Lord wanted him to do. And so he set out to do it. And so he's going to run down to, he's going down to Joppa, and he's going to catch a ship to Tarshish. And he was thinking to himself, I guess if I do this, then I won't have to go to Nineveh. If I get to Tarshish, I won't have to go to Nineveh. Surprise, surprise.
So, and now Nineveh was a huge place. I read in scripture, Nineveh had 120,000 children or babies that weren't at what the Bible calls the age of reason yet. And it said some of them didn't even know their left hand from their right hand.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to imagine if there was that many small children or babies and there were 120,000 of them, can you imagine how many people were in that place?
Yeah, there's a lot of people there. It's a huge city.
A lot. It was a huge city. All right, how about if I have you read verses 4 and 5?
But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship and he lay and was fast asleep. So when his tempest came up, they were lightening the load.
They were lightening the load. So all of a sudden, Jonah's trying to run away from the presence of God. He's in disobedience to what the Lord has commissioned him to do. He figures he can go away. Now, I've read that Tarshish was like someplace over like towards England. I don't know if that's true or not, so don't quote me on that. But he's trying to get away, and all of a sudden, God's kind of taking his finger and dipping it in the ocean where they are, or the sea, and starting to stir it around a little bit.
Yeah. And so they were trying to lighten the load where the ship wouldn't sink, and but Jonah was asleep.
He was sound asleep.
And the ship was tossing and turning and pitching and yawing, and he was sound asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, "What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we not perish."
You know that word, let's focus on that word. I have the King James. Mine says sleeper. So what do you mean, sleeper? Arise, call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us. Charlie, do you see something like a similarity here with Jonah? He's down in the middle of a storm on a boat, sleeping. That kind of reminds me when Jesus was in the boat sleeping when the tempest came up there with the disciples.
Yes, it did.
Isn't that kind of Yeah, it's very similar. So people remember that when we read on here.
Yeah.
All right, now, Jonah 1:7 says, "And they said to one another, come, let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this trouble has come upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah." What did casting lots have to do back in that time period?
Well, casting lots was a way that they used to try to determine what was what. In other words, who was doing wrong, or who was a criminal, or whatever. They cast lots to try to find that out. And I know that in this case, when they cast lots, that God made sure that it would point to Jonah.
So Jonah couldn't even get away hiding in a ship when they were throwing, rolling dice or whatever they were doing there.
That's right.
Now, back then, I studied this real briefly this afternoon. Back then, casting lots was a common thing, and they would do this, and wherever the lots fell, they believed that the Lord was telling them through casting of these lots. And scripture to prove this is in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 33, where it says, the lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. So they did this quite often up until Jesus was resurrected up into the heavenlies. Mm-hmm. Did they cast lots anymore, Charlie, to hear from God?
They did one more time that we have record of, and it was after Judas had hung himself. They cast lots for Matthias, and we hear that they cast lots for Matthias, but after that we hear no more about him, because he was not to be one that was to be one of the disciples of Jesus. That was reserved for Paul.
That's right. I'm hearing that breaking up now. I'm hearing it on your end, so I can hear that. I don't know if it's a bad connection that we have here or what, but I can hear that popping and cracking that you were talking about earlier.
Okay.
All right, so now, what was casting lots? Casting lots was completed by throwing sticks or stones with markings or symbols into a closed-off space to determine the will of God. It was used by Jews throughout the Old Testament, and even Jesus Christ's disciples in the New Testament used them until Pentecost, or until that last time that Charlie just spoke of in the Word. That was the last time scripturally, I do believe, that we can see that was used.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now, how about if we have you read 8 through 10?
Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us? What is thine occupation? And whence comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou? So they were trying to figure out who Jonah was. And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which made the sea and the dry land. Then there were men exceedingly afraid, and they said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them.
So here you got people, Charlie, they didn't believe or they didn't know of God, you know, of his God, the Hebrew God, the God of the sea and the dry land. They had other gods because in my scripture, when they were talking about their gods, the little g, so they were praying to their, you know, not real gods. And it's funny when they sat down and said that he feared the Lord, the God of heaven who made the sea and the dry land, they got kind of scared. So they knew that whom he was talking about was the God.
Yes.
All right, so the lots fall on Jonah, and the men fear Jonah and his God. All right, now I will read verses 11 through 14. Then they said to him, What shall we do to you that the sea may be calm for us? For the sea was growing more tempestuous. And he said to them, Pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will become calm for you, for I know that this great tempest is because of me. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to return to land, but they could not, for the sea continued to grow more tempestuous against them. Therefore they cried out. Now listen to this, people. Therefore they cried out to the Lord and said, We pray, O Lord, please do not let us perish for this man's life, and do not charge us with innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you.
Mm-hmm.
So the interesting thing here to me, Charlie, is Jonah says, just take me up and throw me over. If you do that, you guys will be safe. They didn't want to do that. They tried with everything that they had to get that boat to shore, but they can't do it.
Yeah.
And so now they have to take and do what Jonah's asking them, pick him up, throw him overboard. But they don't want God to charge him with his death.
Mm-hmm.
So they knew when they threw Jonah overboard, Jonah was going to die.
Yes.
He was going to drown. So there is question number one for all the people that have been taught or they've misinterpreted the scriptures. Here is point number one. If you were sitting there judging this to see which direction this is going to go in, here's point number one. If Jonah was not going to die or not expected to die, why are these people asking God not to charge them for his death?
Well, they knew that if they cast him into the sea, there was no way he was going to swim to shore. There was a storm out there, and they knew that, and they being seamen, they knew that when you, in those kind of conditions, if you go overboard, you're not going to survive.
No. You will not survive. That's exactly true. Now, how about if I have you read 15 and 16?
So they took up Jonah, and they cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows.
So I think there's a little some signs and wonders going on there. And I think if they hadn't believed in the God, I think they did then, don't you, Charlie?
I'm sure they did. Because once they cast Jonah overboard and all of a sudden the sea became calm, they realized, they said, wait a minute, this is way beyond us. There's a God bigger than the ones that we consider gods. There's a bigger one than that. And he said they made sacrifices unto the Lord and made vows. So they were saying, Lord, you know, I don't know what kind of vow they made, but I've heard people make vows to the Lord in the midst of trouble, and they really didn't mean it, but they made vows anyway.
Right. So at this time, these men were definitely believing in the Lord.
Yes, they were.
All right, verse 17 says, Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Now, Charlie, let's focus on that word prepares for a minute.
All right.
It kind of, to me, and I don't know, please give me your input on this. It kind of shows to me that the Lord's prepared something. That word prepared means it's a state of readiness. So he's put something into place because it almost to me sounds like he knew what was going to happen.
Yeah.
Is that your intake on it as well?
The Lord knew that Jonah was going to run, but the Lord in his wisdom says, okay, Jonah, go ahead and run. I'm going to catch up with you anyway. And so when it says, now the Lord had prepared, that means beforehand, God had made a preparation that there was a great fish right there when Jonah was pitched overboard. So he made
That's
a
right.
great fish. He made a great fish for that situation for Jonah.
Now, it doesn't say whale. It doesn't
no.
say what kind of fish it is. This could even be a fish that God had created or prepared for this time that perhaps you and I have never even seen before. It is possible.
Yeah.
It is possible. Now, so we can't go on and say, well, it was a whale, well, it was a leviathan, or, you know, it was a sea monster, or a big squid. We don't know. All we know is that God prepared this fish for this moment in time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's a key verse that we have to listen to, because here's what Charlie and I are going to discuss. Now, Charlie and I haven't really talked too much about this, so I don't know if we're going to agree or if we're going to disagree. But here we go. Here's where it starts to get fun. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. If we stop right there for a second, he's swallowed by the fish. Now that he's been swallowed by the fish, to me, it sounds like he's been there 3 days and three nights.
Yeah.
Okay, so we agree there, correct?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, now, chapter 2, verse 1. Could you read that and stop right there after you read the first verse, please?
Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly.
So now many people are going to tell you that Jonah's in the fish of the belly and he's praying to God in the fish of the belly. But if you go back a verse before that, Charlie, it says he was in the fish for 3 days and three nights.
Mm-hmm.
So this is after he was after 3 days and three nights. Would you agree?
It was coming to a point to where when Jonah came to his senses, he prayed. He said he was in there 3 days and three nights. And then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. And as we go a little further down, we'll read what he prayed.
That's right. That's right. So with that, I will read verse 2. We'll stop at verse 2. So then Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from the fish's belly, and he said, and now this is after 3 days and three nights, according to Scripture, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. That word mm-hmm. affliction means pain or suffering.
Yes. Yes.
So, isn't it amazing? He's in the boat sleeping. Jesus was in the boat sleeping when there was a great storm.
Mm-hmm.
He is in Sheol for 3 days and three nights, or you know, the belly of the earth or hell.
Mm-hmm.
There's affliction, which means there's pain and suffering. Jesus was down there for 3 days and three nights.
Yes, he was.
And he took all pain and affliction upon him and went down mm-hmm. into hell.
Yes,
to me, it's kind of sounding like there's a reflection or a mirrored image or a type or a shadow of Christ here.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting to me. Now, how about if I have you read verses 3 to 6?
And for thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compass me about, all thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight. Yet will I look again toward thy holy temple. And the waters compass me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about, The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought me up my life from corruption, O Lord my God.
And my Bible says, yet you have brought me up my life from the pit. Now, in Scripture, what's the pit? Don't hold back, brother. If you've got something to say,
oh,
say it.
Oh, man. The pit is where the, that was a very dark, evil place.
So would you say that hell is a dark, evil place?
He was in Sheol. There was no question about that. He was in the place of the departed dead.
Now, some people will tell you that Sheol, we know in the Old Testament, Sheol, you had a gulf that separated the saints and the sinners, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is if he was with the saints, like some of the people will tell you, for the ones who do believe that he drowned, if he was with the saints, he wouldn't have pain or suffering. He would have been in Abraham's bosom, and he would have been comforted.
Yeah.
But he wasn't. He was in pain.
No, he wasn't.
And he was in anguish.
Yeah.
Now, if we go back up and we look a little bit more, hell has, all throughout the scriptures, and we should do a show on this sometime, Charlie, especially you because you're good into the history, but we should do a show that hell is always described as the deep. It is under the mountains of the sea.
Mm-hmm.
So there's places that refer to him being in hell. And the place where he was a mountainous region. There were mountains all about. I checked it. And the mountains, we know, stem out of the seas. There are some mountains that come out way, 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 way down in the bottoms of the seas. Would you agree?
Yeah. Yeah, there's some mountains in the deep parts of the ocean.
That's right. And then, if we go on and look some more, it says, the water surround me, even to my soul. The deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. If he's in the belly of a fish, well, first of all, he's still in water then, because he's saying that the waters are surrounding him, and that basically seaweed is entangled in his head and around his body.
Mm-hmm.
I went down to the moorings of the mountains, the earth with its bars closed behind me forever. Charlie, he's talking about hell here.
Yeah, he is.
So now we know that God allowed or even set up his travel plans, so to speak, and he went to hell. Yeah, now we're going to get to it. Now the action starts.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think about that?
I can't disagree with that, because having studied Jonah myself, I came to those conclusions that that's where he was at. And there was a reason for that, because by the time we finish this, we'll go over into the New Testament where Jesus referred to Jonah.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a reason for that, because he was setting an example back in the Old Testament of what was going to take place in the New Testament with everything that Jonah went through.
That's right. That is absolutely right. So I got down here, still bobbing up and down in the water. Jonah said, the waters compassed me about, even to the soul. What is the significance of these words? There is but one meaning. The waters continued to pass over to him until he became completely exhausted, and then he finally drowned.
Hmm. He probably did.
And then the expression, even to the soul, has a specific meaning. In Jeremiah 4:10, the same idiom occurs, and it has but one meaning, death. In the case of Jeremiah's passage, death was accomplished by a sword. In the case of Jonah, death was accomplished by the continual waves exhausting him until he sank and he drowned.
That's right.
But you notice how God had that fish right there after he drowned and went down into the depths. Why? To preserve his body.
Yes.
So God had a plan. The Lord had a plan going on here.
Yes, he did.
And again, we know that this is a type and a shadow of the coming of Jesus Christ and what he would go through. And like you said, we're going to discuss that in a few minutes.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now, let's read verse 7.
When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee into thine holy temple.
Amen. Amen. Now, here's where I did a little research, Charlie. I was playing a little Charlie today, and I did a little research about fainting. And did you know that when people faint, they don't remember when they faint?
Yes.
They don't remember. There is no recollection of them fainting whatsoever. They were bent down. They were doing something. I know a guy that I was talking to, he's a pastor. He bent down. Next thing you know, he was out. He woke up in the hospital. He remembers nothing.
Yeah.
Yet for some reason, Jonah refers to the time that he drowns. And in scripture, it says, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So what had happened here, are we ready for, I don't know how you're going to feel about this. When his soul departed from his body, he had enough sense to call out or pray out to the Lord. Now, I believe personally, a person has until the gates of hell to repent and call out to the Lord. What's your feeling on that, Charlie?
When my soul fainted within me, I remember the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. When someone has been, even people that's been in a coma or things like that, there's times where they begin to regain consciousness, and instantly they remember what they need to do. Jonah here was probably in that state of being that he remembered the Lord, and when he remembered the Lord in his consciousness or in his soul, he prayed unto the Lord, and literally right here was where he began to repent of being disobedient, because he said, if I don't repent, I'm going to stay here forever. So I'm going to repent of my actions. And because my soul is fainting within me, I'm going to remember the Lord, and I will speak my prayer into his holy temple.
Amen. Now, my belief, what I see it as is when people faint, they don't remember. But when Jonah had the experience of fainting, according to scripture, to the best of my recollection, he was in full possession of his mental facilities. So to me, this was not an ordinary faint. It was his spirit moving out of the body at death. When he realized that his spirit was leaving the body, he prayed very earnestly to God. And I've heard and read and listened to testimonies of many people who had an experience of their spirit leaving their body, maybe a heavenly experience or something like that. They had full capability. They had full knowledge and understanding what was going on. They could tell you descriptively, seeing their bodies being worked on or whatever, but they knew exactly what was going on.
Yeah, they did. I've read some of those same stories and accounts, and most of them are consistent that they knew exactly what was going on around them.
That's right.
People watching themselves on the operating table after they had died, and a lot of other things. But yeah, they were fully aware of what was going on around them.
So to me, that was very, very interesting. And even though he had disobeyed God and he was trying to run away, he had enough smarts in him to call out to the Lord.
Yes, he did.
Could you imagine his reaction when he ended up in Sheol, though?
No.
All right,
difficult circumstances.
Yes. All right, now verse 9 and 10. Could you read that for us, Charlie?
But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the flesh, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. See,
now,
when Jonah began to repent, he says, I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. He realized in his disobedience that he created the condition that came upon him, and that God set him up to, and it was the Lord who did this. The devil had nothing to do with this. The Lord was the one who did this. The Lord was the one who let him go down to Joppa. The Lord was the one who let him get on the boat to Tarshish. And the Lord was the one who stirred up the ocean. And the Lord was the one who caused a lot to fall upon Jonah. And the Lord was the one who created the great fish and swallowed him up.
That's right.
And Jonah knew that God was behind that.
And then God tells the fish, he speaks to the fish and tells him, hey, go bring Jonah to the dry land and spit him up.
That's right.
Tell him what you what we were talking about briefly earlier this afternoon about a pasty Jonah.
and the word of the Lord, let me read this scripture right here. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto the preaching that I bid thee. So you see, Nineveh was one direction, Joppa was another. But the Lord took the fish and turned him around and spit him out right on the edge of town at Nineveh, going in the direction of Nineveh. And he says, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto thee the preaching that I bid thee. Okay? So Jonah rose, went unto Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. And now Nineveh was an exceeding great city, a 3 days' journey. Okay? And Jonah, having been down in the belly of the whale, a belly has all kinds of juices in it. And he was down there in that fish. And I don't know of what tint Jonah was. He was probably a brown-skinned man from that area of the country, brown. But I guarantee you, when he came out of that fish, he was bleached white. I mean bleached white. Jonah was a walking dead. And he walks in there, and he takes a three-day journey, and he walks into the city, and everybody says, wow, look at that guy over there. He's as white as a sheep. Now, they're going to pay attention to him. They're going to look at it. And they're going to try to figure out who he is.
That's funny. That is funny. A pasty, white Jonah telling them to repent. They must have thought maybe he was an angel or something like that or something. But
I mean, really, if you saw somebody that was painted white, not the white skin of us who are Caucasian, but I'm talking about painted white, like you take paint and you paint a board white walking down the street, you'd probably pay close attention to it, wouldn't you?
Yeah, well, absolutely.
That would be an interesting thing to see. So when he walked into the city, he probably was kind of pasty looking. And the people would notice him and look at him. But then he began to obey the Lord there.
that's funny. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So now here I've got a little bit of information that I had. You know, it's amazing. Jonah's down in Sheol for 3 days and three nights. He's resurrected. He was dead. He's resurrected. After 3 days and three nights, Jesus was resurrected. He goes and preaches repentance to Nineveh. When Jesus came back, it was because he had sacrificed or shed his blood so that you and I could operate and repent and come back to God.
That's right.
So it's an amazing type or a shadow. The only thing, of course, that Jesus didn't do is Jesus didn't run away from the presence of his Father.
Oh,
but what was interesting to me, the fish brings Jonah to dry land, spits him up. Jonah's probably sitting up saying, holy smokes, what an experience that was.
Yeah.
And then he promises the Lord that he would pay the vow which he had made. And when he made that promise, then the fish vomits him up.
Mm-hmm.
I think some of us need to be vomited up from a fish and continue on what God's called us in our commissioning.
Yeah.
You know, Charlie, there are a lot of people that are called according to Scripture, but few are chosen. And I was always a firm believer that when God calls you and then doesn't sit down and say, well, I guess you're not going to pan out, I believe that that chosen feature comes when we get our lives right and we fervently serve the Lord. What do you think on that?
Yes. You can run from the Lord, but you can't hide from him.
That's right.
And if the Lord's got a call, if the Lord's got a call on your life and he wants you to do something, if you really want to walk with the Lord, he's going to find a way to get you where you need to be. And just like it was with Jonah, the Lord said to Jonah, you go to Nineveh. Jonah says, I ain't going. God says, I'm going to get you there anyway.
That's right.
And so he got in there.
He sure did.
It was a rough ride, but he got in there. He said, I want you to go to Nineveh. Now, he could have chosen to go to Nineveh the first time and not had all this trouble. But he chose to disobey and tried to run the other way. And as a result, all this came upon him. And again, the devil had absolutely nothing to do with this. The Lord says, Jonah, I want you to preach to Nineveh. So the Lord made sure that Jonah went and preached to Nineveh.
Now, there are times like when I had somebody, Charlie, we have a lot of people that ask us to pray for. I mean, we send out prayer cloths. I talk with people, 10, 20, 30 people sometime a day. Everybody, you know, asking for prayer, which is great because that's what we're here for. And, you know, that's what God's called us to do. He's called, you know, everybody to do this. But like I had a person pray that a couple of prayers. One person prayed that God would give him a free car. And I couldn't pray that way. So I ended up praying with him because I can't tell God what to do. You know what
No.
I'm saying? So I'm not going to sit down and say, God, give, you know, please give this guy a car when that may not be his plan for that person's life.
No.
But what I can do is that God would bless him and open up the windows and that would lead him and guide him to connect with him so that he would know the plan that God has for him.
Yeah.
And that's basically how we prayed. And then I had another person ask me to pray that they would find a house in another state. And after talking with them and stuff, you could realize that God's called them, from what I see, God's called them to be here for right now. And they're wanting to go and basically tell God to get them a house up there when it may not be God's plan for them to move at all. It may be God's plan. And they had a home that they could actually rent with option to buy here that God, you know, that had opened the doors for them. But for whatever reason, they wanted to go way away up in Lewiston, Maine, and sit down there and wanted me to pray that God would get them that house up there. Now, Charlie, can we necessarily pray like that?
I don't either. And it's because of understanding the basis of Scripture, because when decisions like that come, it has to be the decision of the people involved. We can't go out and tell them, thus saith the Lord, in a situation like that. If someone says that to me, I'm going to have to weigh it out very carefully, and it would have to be the case in point to where there would have to be legitimate confirmation before to move in that direction. And I've heard, I know, there's been times in my life I heard from the Lord, he told me, he says, you go here, you go there, you do this, you do that. That I understood. But if someone says to me, it's just like, I've had similar things happen to me over the years. Somebody would come and say, pray for me that God will give me the money to buy me a Cadillac. No. you don't need one, okay? It's not the habit owning that vehicle is wrong. It's just that this particular person didn't need that thing. That was the thing in the flesh that they wanted that.
Right.
They were part of that. They were part of that name it, claim it group. You know that they could claim anything and God was going to give it to them. Like they could command God to do something. You don't command God to do anything.
Yeah, it doesn't work like that. That's not how it works at all.
No.
Charlie, let's turn over real quick to Romans 11:29. We were talking about how God has – he had commissioned Jonah to go out to Nineveh and tell them about to repent or what would happen. Now, God has commissioned us. When you give your life to Jesus Christ, God has commissioned you, and he tells you in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Now, your world mm-hmm. could be your workplace. It could be your neighborhood. It could literally be the world. But whatever he's called you to do, he's commissioned you to do this. Mm-hmm. And if you're in disobedience and you've given your life to Christ, you, like Charlie was just saying earlier, we can blame the devil for everything that comes upon us, but that doesn't necessarily mean it is of the devil. We do have a flesh, so our flesh can make things happen. And if we disobey God, God can chastise us and make some things go just like you and I as a parent would do to a child. Sometimes you might have a child and you've told them not to do it, not to do it, not to do it, not to do it. They've been disobedient to you. So you sit down and say, you know what? Fine. Go ahead. Learn your lesson. And they go and do it, and they go through a bunch of situations, and it turns out terrible. And then they turn around, they say, I'm sorry, I should have done it this way. They get back on track, and then they listen to you, and they do it that way. And I know many times I've heard parents tell that their kids have said, I wish I would have done that the first time. It would have saved me a lot of trouble.
Yes, it would. We've all done things that we wish we hadn't done because it caused us trouble when we got into those situations.
That's
it's
right.
It's true about children. You know, they're going to do things, and you can chastise them, you can spank them, you can you know, do all kinds of things. But eventually, if they continue at it, you let them suffer the consequences of their decision.
That's right.
And over the years, I've learned that when people say things like, well, you know, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do the other thing, I say, okay, go right ahead. You know, it's up to you. Because whatever decision they make, they're going to have to deal with the consequences of that decision.
That's right.
Whether it be good or bad, they're going to have to deal with the consequences of that decision. And I've known many people over the years that they made decisions that were not good. I've known people that they got caught up in some strange doctrines and they went out and they bought all kinds of things, run up all kinds of debt. They were warned. Said, you don't need to do that. Oh, no. Don't worry about that. We're not going to be here. We're going to get out of here. In 1988, we're going to get out of here. Okay, fine. They didn't get out of here. Guess what happened? They lost everything they had to file bankruptcy.
Amazing. Amazing. Mm-hmm. All right, Charlie, would you like to read Romans 11:29?
Romans 11:29 says, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance.
And my Bible says they're irrevocable.
Mm-hmm.
So when God's called you, now that scripture says that many are called, but few are chosen. When he's called you, Charlie, according to scriptures right here, the gifts and the calling that God has placed upon us, it's irrevocable.
Mm-hmm.
It's always going to be there.
Yeah.
Do you think that we'll have to answer for that gift or that calling and when we meet the Lord face to face and we didn't do it?
Yes, I do. I think we'll have to give an account for that. If the Lord calls you to do something and you don't do it, then you will have to give an account for that. And there are always people say, well, you know, the Lord didn't call me to be a teacher. The Lord didn't call me to be a preacher. The Lord calls everybody to do something.
That's right.
And whatever that is, it could be gifts of governments. It could be gifts of hospitality. It could be gifts of giving. It could be a lot of different things. But we need to determine and understand what the Lord has called us to do and then do it. And when we do it, we feel his pleasure.
Amen. Amen. All right, now let's turn over to, you had talked about Jesus talking about Jonah. Let's go to Matthew chapter 12 and read verses 39 and 40. And this
but he
is
answered
just touching
and,
on it.
Yeah, but he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and there shall be no sign given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth.
Now, does the King James say whale's belly?
Say what?
The King James. You're reading under the King James, correct?
Yes, it's whale's belly, yeah.
Does it? Now, the New King James calls it the of the great fish. That's funny.
Yeah.
That's funny. But so apparently that's where people got the whale from then, is from Scripture there in Matthew.
What I'll have to do is, well, I'll have to go back and double check that that translation, because that could have been from the translators as opposed to the original language.
Yeah, that's interesting right there. That would be a good tidbit we can put on the next show and just let them know. So we can try to keep everything on par.
Yep.
So I like this in quotation. Jesus declared that Jonah's experience was typical of his own crucifixion, burial, and resurrection.
Hmm.
So that's some amazing stuff right there. I mean, we could get into more and more and more of this, but, you know, we go up there, and it's funny. We'll touch this briefly, but if you go back into Jonah and you look where he goes, it's funny. He's brought back from the dead. He's probably as white as a ghost, like you said. He goes to Nineveh. He tells them basically to repent, and then he complains about being hungry.
Yeah.
Was it hungry? No, it was the heat, I think he said. I'm trying to find it quickly here. Okay, Jonah went out to the city, chapter 4, verse 5, and it says, so Jonah went out to the city and sat on the east side of the city. There he made himself a shelter and sat under it in the shade till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord prepared a plant or gourd, and it made it come up over Jonah that he might be shade for his head to deliver him from his misery. So Jonah was very grateful for that plant. But see, what we're saying here is, see, God prepared this gourd or this plant. Mm-hmm. Charlie, he did this in a day. He made this thing grow and prepared it in one day.
Yes, he did.
So that he could have shade for that.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 7 it says, but as morning dawned the next day, God prepared a worm. And it was and it so damaged the plant that it withered. So as he's sleeping now, because he's complaining and stuff, God makes, he prepares a worm, and this plant is big. Jonah's sitting on it, and he's shaded from it, and this worm overnight kills the tree, or that plant, or that gourd.
Mm-hmm.
So he prepared that.
Mm-hmm.
And then it goes on to say, and it happened when the sun arose that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat on Jonah's head that he grew faint. Then he wished for death for himself and said, it's better for me to die than to live.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, God, he prepares this great hot wind. And this hot wind that came upon him was in the morning hours when it wasn't really they didn't have that hot wind at that time during the day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, it's kind of amazing if you think about it. And where we've just learned that our callings are irrevocable in God.
Mm-hmm.
Jonah's calling was irrevocable.
Yeah.
And God was going to do what he had to do to get that message through. And he did. Sometimes with us, we'll go through some test, trials, or tribulations because God wants to get something through us to somebody else.
Exactly,
and you hit it
right
on the head, Charlie. You hit it right on the head when you said that everyone has something to do for the body of Christ.
Yes.
Everyone.
Everybody's got something to do.
Now, you can reach people that I won't be able to reach. Maybe because of personalities. Maybe because you're better looking than me. I don't know. But you'll reach people that I can't. My wife will reach people that we can't. Your wife will reach people that none of us can reach.
That's exactly right.
Maybe we won't come in contact. We don't know. But Jesus has commissioned us. He's basically told us to go. He hasn't asked us. He's told us, go.
Mm-hmm.
And if somebody hadn't gone for me or gone for you, Charlie, to bring us the good news of the gospel, you and I may not be here today.
That's exactly right. It was two Methodist ladies that pointed me in the right direction.
And it was a full gospel businessmen's meeting at a high school, Memorial High School in Manchester, New Hampshire, in 1978 for me.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I gave my life to Christ was because my grandmother did, my mom did. I knew of God. I knew he was real. And I'm going to be honest with you, I didn't want to go to hell. So I may not have had the greatest mindset at the beginning, but God honored that, and here I am today.
Yes.
So that is Jonah, or the death of a prophet, the story of Jonah in a nutshell. So to answer your questions, did Jonah die, Charlie?
Yes, he did.
Yes, he did. He didn't live in a belly of a whale and prepare a fire in there and you know, eat some of the whale's flesh or something. Jonah died and went down the Sheol. He went to hell, and he was a type or a shadow of the Christ.
Mm-hmm.
I still like Charlie's rendition where he came back and was spit out and became the pasty white man.
if we go on and finish up Jonah completely, Jonah was angry. He says, it's better for me to die than to live. And God said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry even unto death. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd for which thou hast not labored. Neither made it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I, this is another lesson for Jonah, should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? So the gourd and the worm was another lesson for Jonah, because Jonah was angry that God did not judge them severely. Because he sees 10 word terms, says 40 days, you know, you're going to be judged. They repented. Jonah was angry. And the Lord says, listen, Jonah, you're angry about that. So I'm going to give you some shade, and I'm going to take it away, and I'm going to blast you with a hot wind. It was another lesson for Jonah in how God works. God has his ultimate goal in sight, and he's going to bring about his ultimate goal regardless.
That's right. Jonah was there to watch the fireworks.
Yes.
He was there to watch the show, and he was disappointed when he didn't see that. And that'll go to show you that God will, he will chastise you, and he'll put you through the fire to burn out all that other stuff to get it right and get your heart and your mindset right in him so that he can work through you and bring other people into the kingdom of God.
See, when you talk about the kingdom, in another place it says, whom the Lord loves, he chastens. And then he goes on to say that everyone he wants to bring into maturity, he'll scourge. Ouch.
Hmm. Ouch is right. Ouch, ouch, ouch. All right, so we got 2 minutes left, Charlie. That was good. I'm starting to like to get into these Old Testament prophets and we've touched on that for the last couple of weeks, and it's been pretty neat, pretty eye-opening for me, and hopefully for the people out there. But we got about a minute and a half. Tell us what we're going to be listening to on Bible study tomorrow night.
We're going to be talking about water baptism, and discussing should we be water baptized, and we're going to talk about the significance of water baptism, what it means, and why. As Christian believers, we need to be water baptized, and we're going to talk about, you know, sprinkling and dunking and the whole thing, because a lot of people get water baptized and they go down wet, they go down dry centers and they come up wet. We know that baptism does not save us. It's an act of good conscience toward God, but we need to realize what baptism means and the ramifications of it.
Amen. Well, I'm looking forward to it. We'll be streaming live on Facebook. You can go to Charlie Sims, his Facebook, and watch it, or I will share it on my page as well, and that's Dean Judkins, pastor. And we hope to see you all there. It'll be good. We can learn some more about what the Word truly says. And Charlie, it was good. I know that you worked late and just got home and swallowed something to eat and got on the show. We appreciate that.
Yes.
And I'm looking forward to tomorrow night.
All right, we'll do this again Thursday. Bless you, bro.
We'll do it Thursday. So tune in Thursday. We'll get something else going. We love you, and remember, Jesus is Lord. God bless.